Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru Podcast. Yesterday we relaunched Beers and Breakevens for season 2023. We went through Timmy Williams and his Supercoach side for this season. A really deep dive there. Went for about an hour or so. It is available on YouTube at the moment. Go to Rugby League Guru. It'll be the most recent video. And at 3 p.m. this afternoon, I drop my Supercoach Classic side for 2023. And Tim, he absolutely picks me to pieces. Put me in the hot seat. Absolutely gave it to me. A cracking episode there coming your way this afternoon, 3 p.m. on YouTube. I've got about a little 10 or 15 minute clip here from the episode for you guys to wrap your ears around. Remember, 3 p.m. this afternoon on YouTube.
Sometimes you can overthink Supercoach and look at the team they're playing in, the draw coming up, all those things. Every Supercoach on the planet has been burned by it in the past and will be burned again as soon as round one. Sometimes you just have to look at the class, and Matty Burton is a star.
Yeah, I love everything about Burton. I love watching him play too. If I have to sit and watch the Tigers for the first 4 or 5 weeks, I'm going to be pulling my fucking hair out, I think. So
early season draw of Manly, out in Manly, into the Storm, Tigers, Warriors, Cowboys, Bunnies. So tough enough, but there's some decent opportunities in there. Tigers, yeah. Warriors for two.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, for all we know, they could be the real deal. We'll wait and see.
Yeah, if they come and hit their straps and fire early, well, he could average 90, couldn't he?
Yeah, and I mean, I also, like, and, you know, if Pappy isn't fit for round one and Munster all of a sudden finds himself in a fullback jersey, conversation might change. Mm. Parramatta, with all their changes, I'm a little bit hesitant on Dill Brown coming off the high that they did. So, yeah, I think it's very likely I start with Berta.
Yep. Onto your half back slot and Nathan Cleary and Nico Hines. It'll be enormously owned. My question here is anti-pod opportunities. We speak about pods over and over again on this. Point of difference players. I love an anti-pod. Mm. Where are the masses going? Let's go against that because there's such opportunity in it. Could you see yourself not starting with Cleary or Hines, or is there merit in the decision, or is it just lock them in?
Oh, I think it's lock them in. I understand where you're coming from, but I think these two are just simply too good that you're if your antipod does very well and these two do average, they probably square up. And I can't take the risk of Nathan Cleary or Nico Hines and Nico Hines playing good football. It's too much of a risk for me.
Penrith start the year with Broncos, Bunnies, bye, Eels, Raiders and Manly. It's quite a difficult start to the year, and that bye in between makes it even more awkward. If that was the Sharks draw, and the Sharks have a relatively tough draw too, I could consider antipodding Nico early on at 900K, but Cleary's a different beast. He didn't average as much as Nico last year. Nico got the Dally M, but Cleary you have to own, don't you?
I think so. And this is going to be the big challenge of my team. If I'm running with Isaac Tungo and Brian To'o, that buy in round three, I'm going to have to really back them to do well in round one and two.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm doing at the moment.
Yeah. Sharkies start with Bunnies and Eels, so tough first round into the Raiders, no chance there. But then it goes Dragons, Warriors, by of their own. So tough first few, but then not too, too bad.
But I'm, to be honest with you, with Nico Hines, I'm not. They're going to score points at some point in those games. You know who they're going to come from. And if not, he's going to find a way to score 50 or 60 points. He just does. Yeah. So.
And if he starts and goes 40-40, you know there's a 180 coming after it, and then it'll balance out to 80-90 average whatever it is. Mate, moving on to the back row, and you've gone with the bloke we touched on earlier, Big Fifi.
Yeah, I just think, you know, he looked so average last year to me, and his points were still great. They've got Foz there, they've got Sammy Verrills, they've put Tanner Boyd there, which I'm not sure if it's the right decision, but I can see it being the right decision. I think it's got potential to be the right decision. So I'm more than happy to take a punt on Fifita. I said it to you yesterday. He's an 8 foot, 130 kilo insurance policy. I just don't want to risk not having him.
I've mentioned this story before, but I remember it was about 2 years ago now, watching Dave Fifita as a non-owner when a lot of people jumped on him, and I held off for a week. It might have been a high break even or something. And he scored, was it 3 tries in that one half against the Bunnies?
There's nothing worse than a Sunday afternoon hiding behind the lounge watching Fifita put on a fucking show with 4 touches of the football. Like, even it kills you.
Even if you have just 40, I just don't want to put myself through that again. I'd prefer it than to be a
just pay up and deal with it. Yeah,
mate, Luke Garner, one we spoke about on yesterday's podcast, looks a pretty popular pick on the left edge for Penrith. Question there, is he locked into that role, or do we see Hosking... Is he competing for it, or is it Luke Garner?
Oh, I think he's competing for it, but if I had to put a percentage on it, I'd say 90% Garner, and that might be unders, realistically. Oh, I think Garner's just about got it locked up. Can't rule out Hoskins. There's obviously trials and everything. Plenty of water to go under the bridge. The interesting thing about Penrith is that their trials, it's a World Club challenge. So I think you'll have a really good idea what this Penrith side is going to look like.
Great shout.
Very early.
Yeah. It'll nearly be, barring any niggles, it'll be 1-17.
I think it just about will be 1-17. I think they're playing it out there at Penrith. It'll mean a lot for the community. I think the Penrith boys will go all in.
They will. They absolutely will. Great call. I wish there were other teams with big games like that where you knew they were locking in a 17, because Penrith's run a line, it's where we pretty well know what it's going to be. Anyway.
I think the other team, because obviously in the trials, there's 2 weeks of trials. Mm. Penrith played the World Club Challenge in one of them. The other week of trials, obviously one team doesn't have a game. So I think that team, is it St. Helens that won the Super League?
Yeah.
I think. So do you know who they're playing in the other game? Speaking of teams, it's good to see their full side.
Para?
Dragons. The fucking Dragons.
Good God. Saints versus the Saints.
Yeah. But like, wouldn't you rather just see any other relevant team play a team from England, probably put out their full squad and have a real crack?
St. Helens will beat them by 50 and the Poms will be crowing that their Super League strong in the NRL. Like, oh, you chose the Dragons. Like, come on.
And we'll still have no idea what the Dragons look like in round two when their season starts. Nightmare.
Mate, four cheapy placeholders for now. Hopgood, Stone, Mooney and Blore. We touched on Blore yesterday around the John Bateman chat. You mentioned that you had a bit of mail that maybe Bateman will play lock.
Yep.
What does this do for Blore's credentials?
I think it'll lock him into that right edge for the West Tigers if that comes through. If not, it's a very different conversation with Blore, and he might be one of the most unlucky guys to play first grade, unfortunately. But yeah, if Bateman does land in the 13 jersey, Blore will be on the right edge outside Dwayhe, which, to be honest with you, I don't love my back rowers outside Dwayhe. His run or throw a 15-metre cutout. So I still think Blore at 234K. We know the upside he's got. I'm more than happy to give him a run, and hopefully he gets through injury-free.
The big watch will be with the forward cheapies. Like, we know the backline cheapies will play 80 minutes, but they could score 4 tries and get 140, or they could have 3 runs and score 7 points. The forward cheapies are so pivotal to the early scoring and team structure.
Yep.
Because if we get starting forwards like Sean Blore, irrelevant of, you know, who he's outside of, like, he'll get his base stats and he should churn out, you know, minimum 35 to 40 at worst. He could get through a stack of work and have 60 in base, we don't know, but so important for the team. But if we don't, we're relying on CT Dub cheapies to, you know, even knock out that 30 or 40 for us. And if we don't get any decent forward cheapies, it sort of makes you go, I mean, we're going to have to spend up for them in CT Dub, but do you bring in higher, like more mid-range CT Dubs that you know will score a bit better? It's... It's a fascinating part of the preseason and part I love about it and love watching the trials. Mate, your front row forward position.
mate, this is where I look at my 2RF cheapies and compared to my front row forward cheapies, they don't worry me in the fucking slightest.
Big, yes.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah, mate, your front row forward position, very different to mine. We'll start with the big boy. DSAF, Dan Saifidi, 484K. A bit of hype around him around preseason. We know what he's done in the past. What's been hard to peg down with Saifidi is just minutes and role, and O'Brien seems to throw him all over the shop. What do you like about him?
Yeah, look, I'll be honest with you. After yesterday with you talking Ruben Cotter, I'm leaning towards upgrading Saifidi to Cotter. But Saifidi, I still think at 480K, yes, there's been an issue for a number of years working out his minutes and output and everything to do with Daniel Saifidi. Looks so good, and then it can be disappointing at times. I just think with Clemmer leaving, I just think there has to be more minutes there for this guy. And it's, you know, as far as his forward pack goes, it's his fucking pack now. He's the alpha in this side. If Newcastle are to be a half-decent side, are to, you know, have a crack at trying to play finals footy, he needs to play big minutes and have a big impact. Whether he does or not, I don't know. But he's a guy that I think is a little bit undervalued there. And as I said, mate, front row forward is such a fucking basket case. I don't think there's any guns that interest me. There's no one I feel safe about. And I don't feel safe about Saifidi, but he is a guy that I'm willing to take a punt on.
I don't. There's a very good Supercoach play in Saifidi when the minutes are there.
Yeah.
So last season, he averaged 52 minutes last season for 46 points. The year prior, 54 minutes for 59 points. And the year before that, 48 minutes for 63 points. So essentially what I've just said about he's good when the minutes are there just fell flat on its head, because he actually has a better PPM, a lot better PPM, when he plays fewer minutes. So maybe it's more about form for Saifidi than getting those minutes.
But I also think that Saifidi, over his career or over the last few years, he's never been the alpha in this Newcastle pack. It's always been Clem. Look, last year, Clem, I think he averaged 62 minutes here. For me, and it's not like a super coach thing, but it's a footy thing. When you're handed the keys to a forward pack and you're the alpha in that side, you need to fucking step up. So that's what I'm banking on with Saifidi. As I said, I do love the Cotter shout. Got the money to do it, and I'm probably leaning towards that at the moment. But Saifidi is probably my favourite of the guys that's in that 400-500K range.
Yeah, and it's a low-key, really important part of round one is finding these 4 to 550K price mid-range front rowers that they're not going to make or break the start of the season, but there is going to be a handful there who have better roles or start the season well, and they get to 600K, even if they don't hold that for the rest of the season, and they become your ticket to the fallen Joe Tappany or Payne-Huss, whoever it might be. So, and look, Saifidi fits the billing for that. He could be, I don't mind the play. Again, let's see how he goes in the preseason trials. Now, mate, a couple that I didn't have, Sean Kepi and Big Davey Mowale.
Yeah, Mowale, I don't know what his minutes are going to look like. I'm not sure if his role changes that much from last year, but I just think South Sydney are easing him in year on year. You know, for people that didn't watch him coming through the grades, I think eventually he's going to be a very good super coach player. He's got a lot of tackle breaks in him, nice little offload. So whether this is the year or not, I'm not convinced. If you said to me you're not starting with Mowale, I wouldn't push back on you at all. But at 234K, he's one that I'm looking at. We'll get an idea of the makeup of South Sydney's side. We'll get to see him in trials. They'll play the Charity Shield, obviously, so we'll get to see, hopefully, close to their full side there. But yeah, Mowale, I could happily exchange him for other options in the front row, but he's the one I'm leaning towards at the moment. Kepi, 274K, a little bit more expensive, still pretty cheap. I just think Manly, me and Matty went through their best 17 the other day. Forwards are very weak. Front row is very weak. I think that it'll be Aloye and either Kepi or Paseka start the game. I sort of think I'd lean towards starting with Kepi over Paseka. I think I'd bring him off the pine.
They've shown a tendency to do that with Paseka as well. A bit of a, I suppose, in a soft Solomona role at Melbourne, where just the big body coming on after 20 minutes and the wrecking ball.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But you just don't get it enough out of Paseka.
No.
Which is the worry. So I don't know.
Do you think it matters to Kepi's minutes much whether he starts or benches, or will it be around the 35 to 40 regardless?
Oh, I think it'll be I think one of them will get about 10 minutes more than the other. That would be my prediction. Yeah, I think the starter will get about 10 more minutes. So ideally, I want him to land there. If Kepi plays 30 minutes coming off the bench, I mean, it's far from ideal, don't get me wrong. I would rather more, but I think I can deal with that. But yeah, Kepi, I think he's got a bit of upside, and I think if it works out at Manly, and if they happen to have a preseason injury or an early injury in the forward somewhere, I think all of a sudden he becomes very valuable. Because you have a look at their side at the moment. You got those three. You got Aloye, either Kepi or Paseka, then the other one will be on the bench. Mate, the only other front rower they've got that's played first grade at the Cub is Sipley, essentially.
Gee, they're light, aren't they?
They're very light, yeah. And then your other bench spot will be taken up by a Burbo, a Bullamore, one of these guys. So Marty Tapau's obviously left. So I just think Kepi, there is a bit of upside there. But this is the one position that every single of the four players could change for round one, and I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Has Tapau landed anywhere yet?
Parramatta, reportedly, that's what I've heard, is going to land over the next few days or the next few weeks.
Jeez, it'd be a handy pickup.
Yeah, if you get the best out of him, yeah.
But I mean, like, at the very least, it's 25 minutes off the bench. It wouldn't have to be a big minute.
If Marty Tapau is your third choice, fourth choice front row, which he would be at Parramatta, it's pretty handy.
You could do some damage off the pine.
Yeah, for sure.
Mate, moving on to your hookers. And here's an interesting one that has obviously come to light in recent days with the
3 p.m. this afternoon on YouTube.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.